Nowadays, many organisations and activists talk about the coming revolution when they see mass upsurges and street demonstrations, in particular in underdeveloped societies. I would like you to expand on what, in your view, is the definition of a revolution. When can we say a revolution is imminent?
Now, Marx himself actually talks about a revolutionary period, and he analyzes, he says that when the forces of production in a society, that means the instruments of production and the labor power, come into the conflict with the relationship of forces in the society, that means the shape, when it comes into conflict with the shape of the ownership in the society, then we will be witnessing a period of revolutions and revolts in order to resolve this problem. Because in a society, when the bourgeoisie came into power through the fight against feudalism, they actually developed the productive forces, the relationship of forces, that means even at that stage the ownership of property was incompatible with the development of productive forces. So therefore there was no need for immediate revolutions against the bourgeoisie at that time. But through several decades we have witnessed that the bourgeoisie and the state of the bourgeoisie in fact preventing the productive forces, and it would not allow the society at large to utilize and to use whatever means is possible to be used in order to better their lives and be prosperous. Now, I just give one example. Today, as we are having this interview, we have been witnessing that over 30 miners in Chile have been imprisoned under the ground for doing mining for the last 2 months, and luckily they have stayed alive and are being pulled out, which is a good news. However, the question which is ask now is this: why they should be in such a position? Why there has been so much technology, the progress of technology, so many instruments like utilization of the nuclear energy, etc. We still need to send our workers down the ground so many hundred meters and risk their lives for mining the coal. Surely there is the technology has developed so far that it can resolve this basic problem, basic needs for the workers in the world scale. Now, obviously, the reason why they are not doing it, because that is not going to be profitable. That is not going to actually enrich the capitalists, the few minorities in the society. So therefore, the state, the bourgeois state in the world scale, we can see that they're preventing and they're making an obstacle towards the development of the productive forces in the society. So as a result, what we are witnessing in the world scale, that and what Marx talked about, you know, over 100 years ago, that we are actually in the process of having revolts and revolutions for a better life, for to resolve these particular problems. And at the centrality of these revolutions, Marx argues, is the fight of the only revolutionary class, which is the proletariat, for toppling and for bringing down the whole machinery of the bourgeoisie. And by that he meant that there is no compromise with any aspects of any sort of parts of this state. The whole of the state has to come out. In particular, after the Paris Commune, in 1871, Marx specifically mentioned that that in fact there is no other way to have prosperity for the whole of mankind and to have these productive forces to go as far as to relate to the need of the society, but having a socialist revolution in the whole world. The whole world is ready now for a socialist revolution, and this socialist revolution has to come by a revolution. A revolution that means that proletariat will take power, state power from the bourgeoisie, and it smashes all the elements of this state. Now, this general definition of revolution and the revolutionary situation for the socialist revolution was carried on by revolutionaries after Marx. In fact, the best sort of definition again was during 1919. After the formation of Comintern, 90 years ago, during Lenin's time and Comintern, they were analyzing the world situation. They were saying exactly the same thing what Marx had said about the toppling of this bourgeois state. They were saying that the world in general, regardless of what capitalist development it had, each country has had, they're ready for a socialist revolution. Our centrality of activities as revolutionaries is to actually base ourselves on the Soviets in the world scale and bring down the state power. And in fact, the Russian Revolution itself was based on these theories of Marx, and they actually succeeded in staging a revolution with the help and with the full participation of the Soviets in Russia. And of course, after this period, 1930s, Leon Trotsky, again based on the same theories of same definition of the revolution, he wrote the Death Agony of the Capitalism and Transitional Program, which again in that leaflet, pamphlet, he actually specified the objective situation is ready for the revolution. Of course, there are subjective factors which are preventing now this revolution, and that is the not readiness of the proletarian leadership. And he argued that, in fact, the social democracy at the one hand and Stalinists on the other hand are preventing this leadership to be formed, and they have betrayed the concepts of Marxism that we were talking about. So therefore, generally, we have this concept of the revolution. So when we talk about revolution, we mean basically we start a struggle for state power. We want to topple the whole fundamental machinery of a bourgeois state and create a workers' state in order to help the growth of productive forces that everybody will live in this earth with prosperity. Now, we come to the second definition of the revolution that is more specific. That means with this idea that we have, this general idea of the revolution that we have, we cannot actually just by witnessing revolts, movements, upsurges, and various sort of activities of any layer in the society, we cannot jump to the conclusion and say that this is the revolution. This is what Marx said, and tomorrow is going to be a revolution, for example, in this country or the other country, and because there is a revolt, for example. 100,000 people have come to the street to defend their rights for democratic rights, for election, for example. Therefore, this is the revolution. So that is, again, is a wrong wrong utilization of the word revolution. We cannot jump to the conclusion that any movement, any revolt is automatically a revolution. This is what we talk about. Revolution is a general matter, but specifically in each society we have to analyze the objective situation and see whether the conditions are going towards a pre-revolutionary situation, or the situation is going to go towards what we, our general definitions, leads us to believe. So therefore, generally, we have to know, we have to have this analysis, we have to experience the movement in each particular society. If, for example, if the rulers generally cannot rule and the ruled do not accept the ruling clique in the society, and there is a deep economic crisis in the society, and on top of that, and the center of it, the proletariat is ready to take power, we can be talking about a revolutionary situation in the society. So therefore, this revolutionary situation arises sometimes, especially in underdeveloped countries, because the conflict is so deep in the society, because the bourgeoisie is so incapable of even doing the minimum bourgeois democratic tasks. Therefore, there is all the time revolts and upsurges in the societies. So therefore, there is a particular time that all these conditions are right. So we have to look for the leadership of the proletariat, because when we talk about the revolution, we mean a socialist revolution. We mean a revolution that is going to topple the bourgeoisie. So therefore, when we say that this is a revolutionary situation, we mean that the conditions are right for that sort of step forward by the proletariat. Of course, the revolutionary situations may arise, but there is possible that revolutions don't still happen in a society, because there are other elements. There is a subjective factor in the society, in particular the center of it, the presence of a vanguard party prior to this revolution is needed in order to prepare this revolution. So many times revolutionary situation arises in a society, but the revolution does not materialize. So therefore, when we talk about the revolution, the definition of the revolution, at the one hand, we have to generally talk about the general concept, general definition of the revolution that I mentioned in relation to what Karl Marx himself was defining it as. And secondly, from this general definition, by witnessing any movement, we cannot draw the conclusion that this is a revolution. We have to be specified. We know that in the world scale today, because of the development of imperialism, there is no society left without the interference and without the intervention of imperialism. So therefore, imperialism is an international force. So therefore, we have international capitalism all over the world. And on the other hand, we have international proletariat. We have the working class, which is an international force in the world scale. So therefore, today, when we talk about revolution, we cannot be meaning a bourgeois democratic revolution, because there is no such thing as bourgeois democratic revolutions, even in the underdeveloped countries anymore. The bourgeoisie is very much linked to imperialism in this country. So therefore, when the people, the workers, even when the masses revolt in the societies under the leadership of some petty bourgeois tendency or some liberal, we cannot say that this is a revolution. We cannot say this is a bourgeois revolution, because bourgeoisie, in fact, is very much linked to the imperialism, and they do not stage a revolution as such as they used to do in the 17th, 18th, 19th century. They are reactionary forces in the world scale. So therefore, they are incapable, as Trotsky has very clearly in Permanent Revolution explains, they are incapable, the bourgeoisie in the world scale and the epoch of imperialism, they are incapable of implementing the bourgeois democratic tasks. the bourgeois democratic tasks are in the shoulder of the proletariat in the even developed countries. So therefore, in the underdeveloped countries, when we see a revolt on the leadership of such and such bourgeoisie, we cannot talk about revolution, impending revolution. We have to say that this is a movement, this is an upsurge, or at best, a revolutionary situation is developing, but the revolution that we are calling for, or what we are expecting, is going to be a proletariat revolution in these societies even. If that the situation is not there, if the proletariat is not present in the field of activities and in the society is absent, if it's not ready, therefore it would be wrong to call any revolt, any mass upsurge a revolution. Thank you for that.
Okay, thanks Maziar. I've stopped recording. I'm going to now start the recording for the second question.